This is a presentation of Dawnforge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 563, Waystone to LA. Today's sponsor is Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATA2017. That's bit.ly/ATA2017. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player.
Coming all the way from the exotic land known as Canada, buckle in for another episode of All Things Azeroth. Now presenting your hosts, the always stalwart and honorable Medros, a master of the fell and commander of demons, Fandeth, and everybody's favorite meat shield. Wait, meat shield? Who wrote this? I am not a tank. Ahem. The ever boastful warrior, Toasty, bringing you your news from the World of Warcraft. This is All Things Azeroth.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I'm your host, Mandros, back from episode off. And with me, I have Toasty. How you doing, Toasty?
I'm doing pretty good. We're getting a couple last really nice days out here, which is great. Before we settle in for the brutality that is a Winnipeg winter. But, you know, we're used to that stuff.
You don't say the W word in this time of year. You can't say that word. You also can't say the S word.
Like, Winnipeg?
No.
Winter is coming.
Man, dragons and undead. Damn it. It's looking for calm.
I mean, it's just another day in Winnipeg. Let's be real here.
Everybody with a beard kind of looks a little bit like the Night King, I think, sometimes.
Or wildlings.
Yeah. By February, couldn't tell us apart. All right, we also have, of course, with us Fan. How you doing there, Fan?
Oh, hi. I'm great.
Good to hear. So, what are you doing WoW this week, Fan?
Not much of anything. Oh, I raided, I think. Did I raid?
Yes.
We raided. And we went 8 of 9 in one night, I think, as well, which is terrific. I think that's their fourth time killing the person that you have to kill to be able to skip ahead.
Maiden?
Yeah, that person.
Come on, Fan, you've been doing that more than I have. I know the name.
I don't know names. It was fun, though. I don't know. My DPS seems to be lacking a little bit. I got some decent items or some decent gear. I feel like I did. My item level's up higher, but damage is just lacking a little bit for some reason. Other than that, working on more of the Argus stuff. I'm loving Argus. Like, I'm actually reading everything and having so much fun with it, with all the quests. And I just unlocked the invasions today, a little bit before the show, so I'm not sure how much stuff I have left to do to be more current, but I've been having tons of fun with that.
If you unlock the invasions, then you are current to basically tomorrow.
Nice.
And to be clear, for people who normally frequent the chat room, I think Fan likes Argus, the content patch, not Argus, the denizen of the chat room, who takes about 8 hours to type out 3 words.
True. I can't really think of what else I did this week, so I'll leave it at that. Who wants to go next?
I can take that. Yeah. So, I also raided, not quite as much as Fan. I'm 7 of 9 heroic now, which is yay. Some of those fights were a decent ramp up in difficulty compared to normal. I think it was just maybe because there were some mechanics I didn't quite understand. Maybe a few more times going in there, I'll understand them a bit better. But I was enjoying doing that. The remainder of my week was spent doing world quests and leveling up. My priest is completely leveled up now, but gearing up my priest. I did a whole bunch of world quests on my priest to attempt to get gear and artifact power, so I've hit Concord on the priest already. So, yay. And I think I'm sitting at about 840 item level. So I can do all 840, not 940. 940 would be better than my warrior. So I'm sitting at 840 item level, which gives me a high enough gear level that I can do LFR all the way up to Nighthold. So I did literally all of that on Saturday. That was interesting. I spent a lot of time just toying around with my UI, making sure like it's actually showing me all the things I need to see. Or in one case, actually showing up at all. Because up until this point, obviously, I've only ever done dungeons, so I know my dungeon UI is fine. What I didn't realize was that I didn't configure my raid UI properly. So by the first time zoning into LFR, thankfully, it was just Rift of Aln. So it was just Xavius. My voodoo frames didn't show up at all. So that was fun. I had to quickly enable the stock raid frames and then heal through that while I frantically tried to set up my voodoo stuff mid-trash bowl. That was intense. So obviously I didn't do too well there, but I think after getting everything set up, I think I'm doing okay. I mean, I'm basing this just on my raw healing numbers, and I think 120 some odd is good for the item level I'm at. I'm definitely not bottom of the list, so I'm okay with that right now. I'm not having Prot Warriors out heal me.
That should never happen.
Oh, it happens frequently.
Prot Warriors, Prot Paladins, to a lesser extent, are pretty crazy for their healing numbers.
Yeah. We've definitely picked up some pugs in the past where our Prot Tank was out healing them. So, yeah. It's definitely a thing that can happen. Thankfully, it didn't happen to me, so I felt good about that. Oh, and last Monday after the show, I got my stabby horse. So I was happy about that. Thankfully, it didn't take too long. All I had to do was do the Karazhan bit, and after wandering around aimlessly for about 10 minutes, I found the area and got it. So yay.
Very nice.
Yeah. What about you, Medros? What did you get up to this week?
For the last couple weeks, since I wasn't out here last week, I got a lot of my characters up to the ability to do, like, to be on Argus, at least. I also did some further questing. My main has gotten up to the current level of the storyline on Argus. My other three characters that have the every 18 hours complete a quest thing, they all have a world quest unlocked on Argus. So they can actually do that stuff without any hassles. Otherwise, didn't do a lot. Argus is definitely very interesting. While I was really excited to see the original cinematic that came with it, not quite so exciting now anymore. After I've done it so very many times. But don't need to worry about that anymore, because all my characters are over there. And I'll slowly work them through the quest line to unlock world quests. But I'm not overly rushed at all. Haven't done much else in game. It's been a pretty lax time in game for me. So I haven't really felt like need to do any major stuff. Doing Argus stuff and doing questing. Do not like the invasions, but I don't think I'm supposed to. So it's all good.
Yeah, the invasion points are interesting. I feel like they shouldn't start as soon as they do. I feel like it should wait for a certain amount of people to get in there before the event actually starts. Because if you roll in there with like 3 DPS, you're the only ones in there, you are infinitely screwed.
Yep, absolutely gonna not be a fun time for you. But yeah, overall, just a fairly relaxed couple weeks in WoW. So I guess next up, what's coming up this week in World of Warcraft, I guess?
So this week in WoW is going to be part 3 of Shadows of Argus unlocking, and so that's when we will be able to get access to the Nether Crucible as well. I don't remember the full details of that, but it'll be here. tomorrow. And then the World Quest bonus event is going to be this week. That's going to be from September 12th to the 19th. And that's really it for this week.
I'm pretty sure it's a dungeon this week.
I think so.
Is week 3 the dungeon as well?
I do not plan to do any dungeons, as usual.
Yay, new dungeon. Which means I can stop running the old ones to get gear. It's getting really boring.
Alright, so not going to see another Crucible anytime soon. Gotcha.
You could just run with us and we'll help you.
Yes, but that's still running a dungeon.
I mean, Toasty can tank, Junks will come and heal us, you can DPS, I can DPS, and we can... Oh, wait, Junks can tank and we can get...
No, I'll absolutely do it if Toasty will tank.
You know what? Fine. Let's do it. I've been playing a healer for the past week. Why not try a tank? Only one caveat. If I see Pepe, I'm bailing.
I was going to say, we should do a Pepe interlude as well.
No. Well, it won't be me because I ain't got Pepe.
Scary Scott, yes, I do have my weapon up to par. It is... I've had my loot specialization set to prot for a long time now, just because I'm not getting much from the content I've been doing in terms of Fury. So my prot is mostly up to snuff. I don't have any prot-specific trinkets, but let's be real, I'm not too worried about those for a dungeon. And I can tank decent enough, I just, you know.
Yeah. How are your arms look?
My arms is also pretty good. I think I'm missing out on some decent relics in my weapon. Just because I think arms uses a shadow relic. So I don't have much opportunity to grab that. Because there's no overlap between Fury and... Like, Fury and Prot don't use shadow, so... Because I've never been in arms loot spec, I rarely get the shadow one, unless maybe I find a world quest that actually gives it to me. But most of the time, I'll ignore it. I know I was trying that little experiment with arms before, but I don't know. I started playing the priest, and I really like playing my priest.
All right. Well, dungeons and raids and all that stuff aside, let's talk about the news of the week, shall we? All right, so I'm going to exclude Toasty from my question here because he doesn't have to pay for this. Or he's already paid for this.
Sure.
Sort of.
I guess.
Fan, you ordered the BlizzCon in the goodie bag in a box last year, right?
Yeah.
So you remember how good it was. There was lots of really cool stuff in there, right?
I don't remember. It's probably been sitting in the closet since I got it.
To refresh your memory, there was a set of dice... A dash decoration, an inflatable Reinhardt hammer, coasters, a Stein.
Oh yeah, the Stein. That was so cool.
It was pretty good. Those dice regularly screw me over in D&D.
Yeah, it was a really cool BlizzCon goodie bag in a box. It was $35 US plus shipping and handling if you needed to, of course. Is BlizzCon number 10. They committed a Stein. It's really, really cool. I really enjoyed it. I know I was to ask a question of you, Fandeath, since you and I will not be going to the BlizzCon this year. Would you pay for this year's BlizzCon bag in a box?
We talked about this before the show, and it doesn't seem super impressive. But beyond that, I think every BlizzCon box I've gotten is sitting away in a shelf somewhere, and I've not used much of anything of it. So it's kind of just stuff that I buy that sits around that I don't make any use of.
When it's cool stuff, I don't mind that. I absolutely don't mind at all when the BlizzCon bag in a box, or BlizzCon goodie bag basically, is something that is in the closet or does not get used. I can see 2 years worth of boxes here. Yeah. Most of the stuff's never been touched. I am absolutely fine with that. when it's good stuff, when it's cool stuff, when there's stuff worth having. And this is where I have a problem this year. So the BlizzCon bag for this year is, to put it frankly, a yawner. A huge, incredible yawn. So the goodie bag, you get a BlizzCon backpack. Now, I haven't seen any thorough pictures of it, but it doesn't look that good, to be honest. You get one Cupid Deadly Overwatch Series 3 Cupid Deadly. It's random. I've seen Bastion, I've seen Soldier 76, and I think I saw... Who did I see? Somebody else had something else. I can't remember who it was. They're really cool. I won't doubt that. I won't deny that. The Cupid Deadlies are always really awesome. I'll be able to buy those from the store, I'm sure. You get a Series 4 pin. Again, I could buy those from the store. You will get gamer badges that Velcro onto your backpack.
That's kind of cool, though. I like that.
I do like that.
I mean, but you could sew Velcro onto your backpack. Or you could be old school and pin it on with safety pins.
Yeah.
I ironed my patches on.
What? Who does that?
I did.
Like, I would absolutely, you know, I would pay $5-$10 for those badges. The pins are a $5 thing, I think. The minis are a $10 thing. The hanging thing, maybe we'll call that a $5, maybe $10 item. And the backpack's maybe worth $10-$15 to me. It does not look like it would hold anything significant for me. It's definitely smaller than the one I currently use for work that I paid $25 for. So, all in all, this goodie bag, I would pay maybe at most $20 to $25 for. Probably closer to $20, because last year was $35, and it included a Stein and some pretty awesome cool toys. It actually had stuff that was specifically to each of the games. There was WoW stuff. There was Hearthstone stuff. There was StarCraft stuff. There was Overwatch stuff. There was Diablo stuff. Like, pretty much every one of their franchises got something. This one has a couple Overwatch-specific things, and then some random stuff. And then badges that are one for every franchise. Personally, this isn't worth it. Unless the price is much, much lower than it was last year. I did a Twitter thread on Twitter this, when I saw this, and basically my thoughts are, would I buy this? Maybe. What would I pay for this? Maybe $20. What I'm seeing here, having watched both the WoWhead and the MMO Champion linked videos, not overly impressed. I hope there's stuff they haven't announced, because they're doing a stream tomorrow. It's a pre-BlizzCon stream with the hosts of the BlizzCon coverage for Virtual Ticket, as well as a preview of a few items from this BlizzCon goodie bag, which now everybody knows was coming in the bag. So I'm hoping tomorrow they will actually say, oh, we actually added more stuff. Because right now this is nothing. This is boring to me. The only two things that I'm truly interested from this... three things I'm interested in this thing I can get from the store.
Right.
The only thing I can't get from the store that I know of for sure are the badges. And I'm pretty sure those will be on eBay for $5 or $10. What do you guys think, Toasty?
I mean, I share mostly the same sentiment. I'm not overly impressed. Don't get me wrong, the stuff by itself is cool, but considering the past goodie bags, not so much. I'm kind of underwhelmed. I'll enjoy this stuff. I'll take the stuff, absolutely. I'm sure I'll find uses or places to put all that stuff. If I weren't going to BlizzCon and I were given the option to purchase this, it's hard to say if I would, honestly. The bag by itself is cool. Along with the Velcro patches, but again, just it's hard to say how large it is. It doesn't look overly large, and generally I need a larger bag. So, like the messenger bag that we got the 1 year, I'm not sure how much use I would see out of it.
Yeah, like, for me, the messenger bag actually had some use. Like, it could actually hold a laptop, and I could put stuff in it. I mean, I didn't actually use it for that, but it actually was a functioning backpack, or functioning bag, that was neat. This does not look like a very good backpack to me. What do you think, Ken?
I'm not overwhelmed by it. Although I have other things that I have to spend my money on anyway, so I'm not really good. I'm not really good to really provide decent feedback on it. It's not something that I would buy. But it would have to have something super epic. Like last year, I was super excited for that tankard. But other than that, I didn't really care much about everything else.
Yeah, there's no one item here that really grabs you, I think. Because, I mean, outside of the backpack, a lot of that stuff we're going to be able to buy through the store.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I don't really have a lot of interest in junk that I'll never do anything with either. So, anymore.
So maybe this would actually be better for you because it doesn't have a lot of stuff.
But I could put that money towards something else, like a case of beer.
There you go.
or food. Like, I don't... Oh, no, I probably didn't post it on Twitter. Jeez. I did a pork shoulder on the smoker this weekend, and it was delicious.
You posted it to Facebook. And yeah. Congratulations on the new barbecue, by the way.
Thank you. It was fabulous. It was so good. It was like 7.5 pounds. So there's so much pork in my fridge.
I was kind of tempted to say, so when can I come over? Because that looked yummy.
I made buns, too. Fresh buns. And they're so delicious.
Oh, actually, I see how this goes.
I brought some to my parents' place yesterday, and my mom gave my aunt one of the buns today, and she said that it was... And she used to be a baker by profession, or by... I don't know, that's what she did for work. And she said that the flavor and the texture were spot on, better than most bakers can do. So, crazy. It was delicious.
It's awesome.
But you'll never find that in your BlizzCon goodie bag, I tell you what.
You're going to find a lot of stuff in this BlizzCon goodie bag. You're going to find a lot of Overwatch stuff. I definitely noticed that right away. You'll have a chance at the other franchises through the pin, but I think that's about it. And, you know, the badge things.
The pins are kind of cool, but I'm assuming they're Velcro on the back, so...
Yeah.
It'd be really cool if they were like magnets. I would put those on my fridge. Absolutely. If they were magnets.
Also, I'm picturing just how much pet hair is gonna collect on those bags over time.
I have no pets. So that's not really a concern for me.
You'll still get pet hair on it. You don't even know.
It just shows up.
Yeah.
Seriously, when we went on our trip in February, like, I washed my clothes, like, very thoroughly. There was no pet hair on it. I definitely came back. I was unpacking my bag, like, how is there animal hair on my clothes right now? It just shows up.
I don't know how you ever show up when I don't have a pet, but okay.
It'll happen.
All right, so let's talk about that event tomorrow, shall we? Oh, sorry, on Wednesday. Sorry.
We already kind of touched on this, but there's going to be a live stream on the 13th at 12 Pacific, featuring Michelle Morrow, Alex Albrecht, and Malik Forte. And during that, they're going to go over the goodie bag that we're going to be receiving, as well as reveal one of the first in-game goodies that we normally get for with BlizzCon tickets and whatnot. So I'm excited for that. I like the digital stuff.
I'm guessing an Overwatch skin. That's my guess.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Doomfist.
I wonder who it would be this time. Maybe Doomfist. He was just released. They're also going to highlight some of the changes that are coming to the virtual ticket. So
that I'm interested in, because I've had many complaints over the years of how they've done their virtual ticket.
Yeah, I mean, they'll show the main panels and all that stuff, and that's great. But there's a lot of stuff that gets missed out. Like, I think, like, the voice actors panel for Overwatch, I think that was without the virtual ticket last year, right?
That was not on the virtual ticket, and the only way to see it is, or to hear it, is to go to YouTube, assuming you can find videos that weren't taken down immediately.
Yep. Feels bad, man.
It was a good panel.
Yeah, I really regret missing that one. I don't remember what I was doing during that panel.
StarCraft.
It was either StarCraft or Heroes.
Well, see, the best thing about it was that all of the voice actors who have interactions in the game were sitting there, like, riffing off each other, and it was just so fun to watch.
That would be cool.
I mean, honestly, I would have gone just for Matt Mercer, but that's me.
Oh, he was enjoying himself. He was enjoying himself.
I remember, I watched the video.
Yeah, that was definitely a fun show.
If they do it again, I'm going to make sure to go this time around.
That sounds like a good plan.
If you're interested in the changes for the virtual ticket and want to see some in-game goodie and whatever else they're going to talk about during this live stream event, tune in on September 13th at 12 Pacific. It doesn't actually say where the stream is going to be. I feel like that's important information.
why do you need to know the where? I mean, come on now.
Oh, just at the BlizzCon site. So at BlizzCon.com. That's where it's going to be streamed.
Well, that's probably where I'd start looking anyway.
Yep.
But, yeah, we'll see.
So, when it says livestream kickoff... Oh, wait. Kickoff of the virtual ticket. Does that mean hopefully it's going to be available tomorrow?
I would imagine it'll be available on Wednesday, yeah.
Wednesday?
Or, yeah, Wednesday, not tomorrow. Cool.
I can't imagine them having a big event about it and then just not doing it. That seems silly.
Coming soon.
Hey guys, look at all these changes to the virtual ticket. It's going to be so
it's
cool.
It's going to be so cool. It's going to be the best virtual ticket yet. We're gonna make it awesome.
And that's it for the show, folks. Tune in next time. Alright, why don't we step away from BlizzCon stuff and talk about stuff that's a little more current.
You mean stuff that we don't have to wait 2 months for? Okay, fine.
I don't know how y'all feel about this, but Argus Waystones are getting nerfed pretty hard. Nerf bats all around. Actually, they're just getting removed. Do you guys have any of those yet?
Nope.
I have 4 from the first one that I did.
Oh, maybe I did have them then. I did one invasion point. I didn't really pay attention to what I got from there.
Yeah. I looked and I didn't have any. And then I did an invasion, and it said, you got 3. So, I got my first 3. So it was, I guess, something that you would get 3 of the... Or get so many of the waystones for completing invasions. And I don't even know what you use them for, but... Oh, it's for a weekly quest.
Right, a weekly quest and for greater invasion points.
So, those are going to be gone in a hot fix coming soon. Is it tomorrow? Okay. And with that hot fix, they're also going to increase the cap on Veiled Argonite from 1,500 to 2,000. So, are you guys capped on that yet?
I'm close.
No, not particularly. I did 2 days worth of world quests, and then I switched to my priest for the rest of the week.
I'm probably pretty close. I have no idea what I even spend it on.
Gear?
From where?
Yeah, there's a vendor that'll sell you stuff.
Etherol.
Oh, okay.
I think it gives you 880 gear?
I know I bought one item with it. Oh, Junk says it's 910. I bought one item with it, but it wasn't any better than the thing that I was wearing. So it was kind of didn't really. Oh, I think I spent it on a trinket, and trinkets are so temperamental sometimes. The item level of a trinket doesn't really matter. It's what it actually does. I think that's. Yeah, I should not have done that.
Right. Oh, okay, I'm getting 880 from the tokens that drop from the rares. So the rares drop a similar armor token, but the vendors, it's guaranteed at least 910. Noted, I'm going to run Argus stuff on my priest. I think that's better than subjecting myself to LFR. It wasn't so bad most of the time, except for we had a tank leave right at the beginning of Trial of Valor.
Oh, wow.
And despite me saying we only have one tank, we proceeded to pull all the bosses without getting another tank. It worked out fine.
So there you go, Medros. It's a way to get better gear with those Veiled Argonites. That completely got away from the Argus Waystones because we forgot about it because it's not a thing as of tomorrow.
Yeah, I kind of felt like that was way too RNG for me.
Getting the Waystones or?
Yeah. I heard people who got one on a invasion boss. And it's if I had to do 15 of those, I would just be oh, I'm done. I'm done now.
Yeah.
But now you just have to do three invasions and you're good. And I assume that's going to be a weekly quest, so.
Yeah.
So, among many of the hotfixes, we did get one as well. The number of world quests required to complete the Argusian Reach Emissary is reduced to 3, was 4, until next week when more of those world quests will become available. So that will be something that, again, that is for this past week. When more become available this coming week, it'll be more accessible and therefore more possible to do for players. Let's hope that that is an issue that they can fix, because we all recall the days of nearly no emissary quests for Kirin Tor, when they had to basically hotfix it to complete for everybody immediately.
Yeah.
But yeah, glad to see they hotfix that for the short term, and hopefully they will in the future be willing to do that again if it becomes an issue. I assume they said with the story coming this week, they'll be more available, and that shouldn't be a problem going forward. So,
shouldn't be being the operative words.
Yes, that is an operative word. Good to see they proactively took care of that instead of just letting it fester like they have in the past with other stuff. All right, let's move along to our next topic, shall we?
We got into the zone. You know what that means, everybody? Complaints about flying. So, evidently there are some people who are not too happy with the decision to not be able to fly in Argus. And who posted that?
Somebody believe it was, if I recall, Orden, maybe? Ornix, maybe? I'm trying to think of the name. Ornix, yeah.
Ornix, yep. So, Ornix on the WoW forums went into some detail as to, not really went into detail, just discussed the removal of flying in Argus. And it was a lot of the arguments that we're used to at this point. I mean, there have been zones in the previous expansions, save for Warlords, I believe, where previously we were able to fly and then not able to fly anymore. Mists of Pandaria, we had Isle of Thunder and Headless Isle. We couldn't fly there. In Burning Crusade, we had the Isle of Kel'Danas. Couldn't fly there either. And yeah, they acknowledge that, you know, it sucks that you won't be able to fly there, especially if you just earned Pathfinder, but you can still fly everywhere else in the Broken Isles. And, you know, thematically, I think that makes sense. Argus is a super dangerous place, guys. In case you didn't notice, there's a bunch of demons flying around everywhere, and they're shooting ships out of the sky. I don't want to fly around in that kind of atmosphere. And yeah, and there's a lot of arguments being made that, you know, the terrain is difficult to travel by and all that, but there's other ways to go about doing it. And the zones aren't, personally, I don't find the zones as big as they appear to be. I'm finding myself able to get to those flight point things, for lack of a better term, pretty quickly. And even if you can't, there's something called the Crocol Flute, where if you reach Revered with the Arguzian Reach, it'll upgrade your Flight Master's Whistle, so it'll allow you to teleport to the nearest Lightforged Beacon. So really, I mean, there's a bunch of solutions there that'll allow you to bypass some of that ground travel if you feel it's necessary. Yeah, I mean, it's not like they're completely gimping us in terms of how quickly we can move across the terrain. There are ways of going about it pretty quickly.
Have you guys been hit by Mr. Fellreaver yet?
No. I'm surprised I haven't been. Because I've definitely, been half asleep walking down that path. And, oh, wait. I hear that noise.
Yeah.
Just quickly turn.
I've not been caught by it either, but I'm very wary when I hear it.
I have not had any yet unpleasant encounters with him, but I know one is in my future. I've accepted this, and I've prepared myself, but I will still curse and yell and scream.
What are you guys' thoughts on this whole flying debate?
I think it's pretty consistent with what they've done since the beginning, as they mentioned, and I'm cool with it. I have no problem running around. Yeah, we're playing the game the way it's meant, so to run around and explore, and we can't go all the way, fly all the way through everything, and we'll get it when the next expansion comes out. We'll be able to fly out there.
Well, maybe. We can't fly in Timeless Isles or Isle of Thunder right now, or Isle of Kel'Danas for that matter.
Yeah, but we, what's the place in that last zone on Draenor?
Tanan Jungle, yeah.
Yeah, we can fly there.
Tanan Jungle.
And we couldn't when we got Pathfinder, could we?
Right.
No, because it wasn't open yet. Oh yeah, Pathfinder opened up with that. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, we could.
And we could fly there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well then.
Yeah, I remember specifically because some people in the raid didn't have Pathfinder unlocked. So yeah, we had to team up on two-person mounts to get up to what boss was at the top of that mountain. Whatever boss that was at the top of the mountain. But it's not unusual for the... Long story short, it's not unusual for the end zones to not have flying. I mean, yeah, there are some exceptions. Absolutely, Tanan Jungle being one of them. I don't believe there's a zone in Wrath of the Lich King where we can't fly. So, I can see why people would argue, would make the argument that flying is eventually made available to us in certain instances, but at the same time, it's also never been made available to us for several instances as well. So, I think the proper way to go about this is just enjoy the content for what it is. Except that, some of the content isn't designed to be for you to be flying around in. And it makes sense in context of the story, I think.
Yeah, I guess so. I do wish I could fly, though. It'd be so nice.
And get shot down by those demons?
No, no, I don't want the being shot down part. I want the flying part.
Well, you can't have your cake and eat it, too.
I never understood that saying. Why would I get the cake and then not eat it?
Because the cake is a lie?
Because once you eat it, you have no cake left.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
So why would you want to eat your cake? Then you have no more cake left.
Why would you have the cake to begin with?
This is so reminiscent of a conversation I had way not so long ago with the wife. Yeah, anyways. Not going there. Just not going there. All right. Let us move ourselves along, shall we?
There's a post a couple days ago about the Mythic Plus Invitational. It was a Q&A, I guess. So was that a Q&A that Wowhead actually did? Or they just covered the Q&A? I don't remember seeing this.
I think it was just... Yeah, it was just Wowhead doing the Q&A.
So there's a bunch of questions and answers about the Mythic Plus Invitational, which is underway right now, I guess. It sounds like for the main thing, the Invitational is taking place on a separate realm. So the gear is kind of more standardized. There'll be a vendor that you can kind of buy the gear and the relics that you need. And then when you actually go into the dungeon, it will be more normalized. Other interesting things are they're getting rid of some of the affixes that people can't see because they want to make it more visual. So something like skittish isn't going to exist in the Invitational, but something like explosive, quaking, volcanic, stuff that you can actually see as you're watching people do it will absolutely exist. Players will know the affix combinations when they're used ahead of time. There's also no rules on what you need to actually do the instance with. So for instance, last year with the challenge modes, there was one group that did one tank, 4 DPS. So you could totally go one tank and 4 DPS, or, you know, 4 DPS and one healer, or 5 DPS. And if it works for you, great. And it might not, but they've kind of changed things a little bit as well, so it might not be as easy to do that. Anything else I'm missing from this Q&A? I kind of just
glazed over. Oh man, they're going to be able to buy legendaries.
What?
I want to buy legendaries. That's from the vendors.
You won't be able to use it outside of that realm, though.
I know, but I still want to buy them.
You want to dual wield Sifu's Secret?
Sure. I'm pretty sure it's unique equipped, though. I mean, yeah, I could buy crafted legendaries. It's just not the same, though. I don't get that fancy pop-up.
I do like having that pop-up. That's a really thrilling sight sometimes.
Sometimes I just don't even notice it right away. Like, I'll just scroll through, like, what did I get?
Yep.
I'm excited to watch these, though.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting set, I think, yeah.
To watch people who are infinitely better than I am at this?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I watch hockey.
It's a fair point. It's a fair point right there. Blizzard's opening an arena.
I know.
An esports arena. So, I think somebody's plans for BlizzCon just changed a little bit. Assuming it'll actually be open during BlizzCon.
I doubt it'll be open during BlizzCon. I feel like a lot of their esports events are going to be taking place at BlizzCon. So there's not going to be a lot of use for that arena.
It's pretty awesome that they're doing it, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I would love to go to an event here.
Yeah, it'd be really cool. But alas, I don't know that they'll be doing any events anytime soon in Winnipeg.
Not official Blizzard ones. I can watch the local esports scene, I guess.
Well, I guess if you really need to.
And when I have. So
I think it's really cool. I do wonder, is this the first venue that is dedicated strictly to esports?
believe so. I think there's one in... it's one of the southern states. I can't remember which one, but I know there's other venues that are dedicated just to esports. I can't remember which one it is now. I was watching it on a stream of some sort. It was just a regional tournament. But, yeah. I mean, there's definitely stuff like that out there. It's maybe the first one that's dedicated just to one company.
Yeah.
But it looks like they've got multiple sound stages, so they do multiple events simultaneously, which is kind of cool. Yeah, and there's going to be an on-site store open during the events, which is going to feature gear and other stuff based on the event that's taking place at the time. One of the first events that's going to be happening there is the Overwatch Contenders Playoffs. That's going to be running October 7th and 8th.
Very nice.
And October 13th, the Summer Championship for Hearthstone is going to be taking place there.
Summer Championship? On October
13th? Yeah, yep. I'm aware.
It's not summer anywhere at that time.
Yeah. Also, of note, when the Overwatch League launches later this year, the Blizzard Arena will be home for the team in LA. I kind of really want to go, because I love me some esports. And I'll follow it as closely as I do hockey. I can name you teams and all that. I just like watching it. It's entertaining.
We should look at making our own esports bar here. I would totally do that. I've wanted to do that for years.
Isn't Resets kind of a gamer-centric bar?
I've never been there, so I don't know exactly what they do. But I think you more play games.
But they do tournaments there. I know there's a Street Fighter tournament there a few weeks ago. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even need to play it. I suck at playing it. I just love watching it.
Yeah, watching esports, yeah. Especially watching them live, is just a whole other experience. I mean, I've been watching the Contenders Championship for the past couple of weeks, just as background noise on the TV. And every once in a while, I'll tune in and watch, but it's nowhere near as engaging as watching an event live. I would love to be able to do that. Outside of just BlizzCon. And, you know, within a half hour of my house.
Yeah, I went to one when I was in Vancouver. I enjoyed it. Don't know how hard-pressed I feel to go to one again. But if there was something here like that, I'd probably go to it every so often.
The only drawback to having something like that is, how would you be able to fill it for outside of a few events a year or whatever?
I mean, I can understand how a city like Vancouver and Toronto would be able to fill venues like that fairly regularly. Maybe not huge venues, mind you, but like,
that's a lot.
I don't know, 1,000 people, I feel like.
Yeah,
but I feel like in bigger cities like Vancouver and Toronto, that's definitely feasible. Whereas here, I don't know, you'd probably be lucky to get a few hundred, honestly.
I guess you could sponsor tournaments as well for certain things. So that's another way to have draw.
Yeah, we do live esports events at stuff like C4, and there's Baseline that happens every year. But those aren't, I mean, those don't need...
Yeah.
Those don't have their own specific venue. They're very much just, you know, once or twice a year thing, and it happens at an already established place, like the convention center or wherever Baseline is held.
It's good to have a dream, Toasty. You keep at it.
Maybe one day, when people realize how cheap it is to live in Winnipeg, I can dream.
Toasty, save me for BlizzCon. Nobody should have ever shared that link with you.
Yeah, and while I'm dreaming of that, I'm going to dream of all the stuff I'm going to buy at the gear store, which just relaunched.
I simply commented on a couple of things, that's all.
I know. Yeah, that definitely should not have been shared with me. I wonder who's to blame on that one.
It weren't me.
Well, they got a whole bunch of new stuff there. There's a bunch of new Overwatch hats. And they're showing off all the Overwatch statues there, including the Figma Tracer statue. So it's not the, you know, the real expensive one. This one's a posable figure. So that's kind of cool. Other things they've included on there are Ice Cream Citadel shirt, which is kind of cool, and I might buy that. I don't know. It looks. It's definitely an improvement looks wise over the previous store. Functionally, maybe not so much. I'm definitely having trouble organizing or navigating through it.
Definitely some issues on the navigation side.
And they still don't have a sort by new option, like, overall.
And that seems really silly to me still.
Yeah, I really want to sort by new. I know what stuff is there already, Blizz. I want to see the new stuff. I want to know what kind of new toys and stuff I can buy. I had to dig for that Overwatch hat. I'm probably still going to buy it eventually. But it took me a while to find it, and that's my problem with it.
Yeah. Definitely, definitely a problem right there. You should not have to search for buying stuff from your store, Blizzard. But they do have a lot of really cool stuff. And, yeah, if you want some of the cool stuff they have, definitely check that out. I'm sure they will be happy to take your money.
What? There's a Corehound bobblehead? I did not know that.
Yep, even more of my money.
Yeah, I've got it right there. Is it right there on my shelf? Yeah, it was a BlizzCon launch thing.
Oh, yeah?
That's and cool. Thankfully the heads come off, so it was much easier to transport.
I think they got put out, was that put out last year?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, shipping bobbleheads, I can imagine, would be a pain in the ass.
It must be MTS Internet.
Especially if you take it out of the box. See, I clicked Overwatch like when I started talking about this, and it's still loading, Blizz. Come on.
I'm sure you won't find anything you want, Toasty.
Actually, it is kind of slow to load.
Or maybe it's just my really bad internet.
I mean, mine's loaded now, and I said...
Oh, well. I'll look later. Something
about must be MTS. When I said must be MTS, that's when I clicked it.
Okay, good. It's not just me.
All right, then. So, of course, our sponsor for this episode is the great folks over at Audible. They have great audiobooks, some great reads, some awesome authors, and voices that you will recognize the moment you hear them. I'm going to let this one speak for itself. So we're going to give a bit of a listen to this sample, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Convention, where I will be greeted with an incredible outpouring of affection and warmth. Why all the goodwill from total strangers? Well, a great deal of it comes because of my relationship with a certain extraterrestrial, a supposedly unfeeling character who claims he can't return the groundswell of public love directed at him. Even those few who have never seen a single Star Trek episode somehow know all about that guy with the pointed ears. Should I be jealous of him? I joked about that in a book I wrote in the mid-70s called I Am Not Spock. I described my conversation with a group of actors and how, as I was leaving, one of the actresses said, "Leonard, we love you." I was very warmed and thanked her, but at the time wanted to add, "I'll tell him when I see him." As I said in the book, standing silently behind my shoulder is a very jealous, ever-present Vulcan.
So that was, of course, I Am Spock, written and narrated by Leonard Nimoy. It's a great book. I really enjoyed reading it. It really puts the content into perspective when you actually hear Leonard talking about his own life and his own time. And I really, really felt like I understood a lot more of what he was going through in those times. So I definitely want to recommend that you check that out. If you don't want to check that out, there are a lot of other books. There are fantasy, there are self-help books, there are romance novels. If you, whatever you're into, there will be something for you over at Audible. So check them out at bit.ly/ATA2017. And we thank Audible for sponsoring the show. All right, Toasty, are you done perusing the gear store now? Or is there such a thing?
I mean, no, but...
Okay.
Probably not.
Well, how about we move along to our question of the week?
Okay. All right.
All right. Fan, what was our question of the week for last week?
Question of the week last week was, what did you think of the process behind getting the Lucid Nightmare? That's the mount that Toasty got that myself and probably Medros do not have yet. Wookie BH said, haven't done it myself yet, but it was fun watching the community work through it. So more is welcome.
Well, I will answer for myself on this one first, since I was not here last week to answer for myself. Wouldn't have a clue, didn't do it, and I don't plan to do it anytime soon. I did have somebody who advised me that it didn't take very long, and then when I asked the time, the answer basically said, reiterated my not anytime soon. I do not have the amount of time I'm hearing people have put into that. I don't have any desire to do it, so I will pass.
Well, 4 hours in the maze wasn't that bad.
I'll pass. Thanks, anyway. So Gildina said...
What do you think of the process behind it? Like, do you think it's cool, or do you just think it's BS and a waste of time for them to add it?
For Secret Hunters, definitely a good thing. I know a lot of people who are really into this kind of stuff. Emma is one of them, who really enjoy, you know, the challenges and doing those things that don't require just running Karazhan for, you know, 300 weeks in a row to get Ad Human's mount, where there's actually, you know, a little bit of work involved. So for those people, it's a great thing. For people without a lot of time or a lot of energy, it's not that great of a thing. But I personally am fine not having this. I can't think of a single one of the secrets that people have found in this game that I am at all interested in. So totally good for me on that. But it's great for people who are into that and wanted to do that. Gildina said, I started out thinking it was easy that I got to the maze. All in all, it was fun, but don't start the maze if you don't have a few hours. Frasley said, I thought it was pretty fun, different as well. We did it as a group and had a great time in voice chat.
And Red Zine says, I joined the Discord channel and listened to the voice chat discussion. It was the most amazing act of cooperation spanning all over the world I have ever witnessed. There were people from the US, Canada, France, Germany, Philippines, Mexico, Australia, all working towards a single goal. They were, for the most part, courteous, patient, and gave anyone who had an idea a voice, even if English wasn't their first language. I look forward to the next Super Secret. To quote Thrall, that's incredible.
And next week's question is, what are your thoughts on the BlizzCon goodie bag? I think we have all voiced our... Yeah, we voiced our thoughts on this one fairly thoroughly already, I think. But we look forward to hearing your guys' thoughts. I can think of a few people in our audience who will have some very vocal opinions on this one.
I think we kind of beat that one to death.
All right, and I don't think we have any emails, so how about we do some shout-outs? First off, let me take care of our Patreon ones, because those are the folks who support us every month. And we really appreciate them and their support of the show. So for August's donors, let's see, we have Navimi, Fandeth, Red Zian, Frasley, Thomas, Erlina, Toasty, Troy, Brock, and Bimini, who've all supported us. And we thank you all for your kind and generous donations. And thank you. And you. And you, and you, and you. But I don't know about any others, because I don't know if you're on this list. Sorry. But if you want to be, you can. Just go to patreon.com/allthingsas.
That makes me think of that Simpsons episode where Homer's the coach, and he's like, you're cut, you're cut, you're cut, you're definitely cut. You're okay. You're cut, you're cut.
I haven't watched that episode in so long. Was that football or was that?
I think it was.
I'm gonna have to find out now.
All right. So now for our own personal shoutouts. Toasty, how about you start?
I'm gonna give a shout out to Haster again for filling in with the producing last week. Thanks so much.
Damn it. Took mine away from me.
Me too.
I mean, you can double up on it.
But then it's just like I'm copying you now. How about you, Fan?
I'm gonna give a shout out to
shout out Argus, who was forever typing.
Argus has actually hit enter three times or twice this show.
That's impressive.
Hi, and then there. At 9:14 and then 9:40. And it's 9:51 right now. My shout out's going to be to the people that are in here week after week to hang out with us and chat while we do the show. It's always nice to see people in here and talking and contributing to like our question of the week. Even emails that we get from time to time. I love them. I was actually just listening to Realm Maintenance. I haven't listened to Realm Maintenance in forever, but I was listening to an episode where Ro was talking about Patreon and people's opinions on it. And some people don't necessarily like it because it sometimes gets you extra perks with different podcasts. But one thing that I thought of, and I never actually replied to him, but one of the coolest things about having listeners and having one of the most rewarding things, I think, for doing the show is having people, you know, reach out to us either in chat or voicemails or emails. And I really appreciate those and I really love to read them and see them. I get excited whenever I see an email. So my shout out is to anybody that helps contribute to our show in those ways.
Hey guys, he legit gets excited about it. Like, whenever we get an email, he all caps us in our Skype conversation that we have constantly going, "Hey guys, look at email!" Or something along those lines. It seriously makes his day, I think.
So my shout out is to the guys in Haster for doing the show last week. To Toshi's Guild for raiding, keeping him very, you know, busy, I guess. And, yeah, to our listeners, because they're awesome. But that's about it for this week, so let's do the outro, shall we?
If you'd like to reach us by voicemail, you can call us at 1-785-ATA-WELL-5 or 1-785-282-9695. You can send emails to show@allthingsazeroth.com. And if you like what we do here, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/allthingsaz. You can find the show over on Twitter at allthingsaz. Medros is at Medros. Fandeath is at Fandeath. I'm at ToastyPostyCan. And you can find the network over at Dawnforge. And please check out the other shows from Dawnforge Productions, including Group Quest, Shattered Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, and Across the Hooniverse.
All right, and we'll be back next week. In the meantime, take care. Happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of streaming stuff.
Goodie bags? Goodie bags.
No goodie bags.
No. Say no to goodies.
Toasty's empty wallet.
That makes sense. That works.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dawnforge Productions, copyright 2017. Find us online at thedawnforge.com.